You know, I don't know about for you, but, and I've said this probably before, but, it's kind of like Groundhog Day lately. I mean, I feel like it's been one long day since March. I mean, it just seems like sometimes I can't even remember what day it is. But it always amazes me that I'm in that position. It always amazes me that that I'm there when, in a way, God is active in our lives every day. It's just that, to be honest with you, it's quite often I kind of, don't pay attention. I get too busy with my own stuff. I get too busy sort of with all the list that I have to accomplish, the relationships that I've got to pay attention to, and the relationship that primarily will dictate how I relate to everybody else, that relationship with God, I sort of put on the back burner. I thought about that when I read the scripture for today, and I remembered an old saying that many of you may have already heard, but it to me, at least, applied to what these scriptures say. The saying goes like this: reputation is what people think of you. Character is what God knows of you. Reputation is what people think of you. Character is what God knows of you. I got to ask you a question. See if you're like me. What do you put more energy into? The reputation or the character? As I looked at the gospel for today, the gospel is an interesting one. It's Jesus. He's been doing his ministry. I don't know. I'm saying he's probably out of the three-year ministry that he did. He probably was about a year and a half into his ministry. He's already gotten off with his disciples. He's got the disciples formed. He's taught before. And he's basically, going across the countryside, doing preaching and teaching and healing and casting out demons and doing all the things that Jesus did. But he comes to a place where he's in Caesarea Philippi, which means that he's out of Israel, and he's probably somewhat trying to take a little bit of a break. And it says real clearly that what Jesus says is to the disciples, wondering if they're getting it, if they're understanding things, he says, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Now, Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. It's an Old Testament sort of name, and Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. Who do people say the Son of Man is? Well, the disciples were quick to respond. Basically, they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. And some say either you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. But then Jesus asks that question, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter gets the answer, right? Peter, I can really relate to Peter. He's always putting his foot in his mouth. But this time he got it right. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And then Jesus affirms Peter. It's amazing, isn't it? Jesus, when he asks, who do people say the Son of Man is? They come back with the name of a bunch of prophets. John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Elijah, or one of the other prophets. They keep it all inclusive. They say, basically, you're a prophet. In other words, they describe what he does rather than who he is. But when he asks the question, but who do you say that I am? Finally, Peter really says, no, who you are, you're the Son of the living God. You're the Son of the living God. This isn't about just doing stuff. This is about your identity. It's about your character. Reputation is what people think of you. Character is what God knows of you. It's funny because as I go through my life, a lot of my life is that I wanted to get everything in order. A lot of my life was, I wanted to, have a career. I wanted to have all those kind of things. I would venture to guess you're all like me, aren't you? You get the family together, you get your occupation together, you get your business together, you get the, you know, the trappings, the homes, the, you know, the cars, the whole nine yards, all those things that you want to get. But how does that really work on who you are as, in your character, your identity? That's great for a reputation, but how does it really relate to, you know, you developing the things that, in my words, are sustainable and lasting? Reputation is not sustainable and lasting. It can go south real quick, can it? You make one bad choice, not even where you intentionally did it, and boom, you're... But character is something nobody can take away from you. Identity is something that you learn to grow and know. It's those kind of things that actually dictate what you do. You know, I love to say at a baptism, you know, that the beautiful part about a baptism, it's not what you do that makes up who you are, it's who you are that makes up what you do. And I think so often at times, I know you guys are smarter than I am, but I forget that. I keep thinking, if I just get this list done, if I just do these things, then I'm okay. Sometimes it really depends on how you do those things and from what character identity you're coming from. I can do some things that seem like good things on the outside, but to tell you the truth, on the inside, who knows? You know, I remember a story that I love to tell. It's quite a few years ago, and I've told this story before, so bear with me, but it was one day I had to do a funeral over in Winter Park, and I was in my truck, you know, my old pickup truck, and I'm driving from New Smyrna down, and I decide I'm going back down 415 the back way. I'm not going to go I-4, and I'm going to go down, you know, 415. I'm on the back roads there, and I'm thinking, you know what? I have never driven to Orlando or Winter Park doing the speed limit. I usually am at least 10 to 15 miles over the speed limit. I'm going to drive the speed limit this time. And so I got in. It was early in the morning. I had plenty of time, so I knew no matter what, I'd get there on time. And it's right about, you know, say, between 8 and 9, and people are all going to work, and I'm doing the speed limit. I'm dressed totally as a priest, which you know me well enough to know that, you know, putting the collar on, I don't totally do that all the time. But I mean, I'm dressed like I'm doing a very, you know, fine funeral. And so I got my collar on, I'm in the old pickup truck, and I'm driving down, and I'm driving down 415. And all of a sudden, I'm doing the speed limit, and I realize that behind me, there's this whole line of traffic. I mean, it was amazing how many cars are behind me. And what really amazed me is when traffic broke up coming towards us, they all tried to pass me. And each one that passed me, they were so nice. As they were driving by, because I was doing the speed limit, they sort of all wanted to salute me. But the best part was when they saluted me, here I am in my priest collar, and they turned around and I went, hi. Looked like the angel of death was going to get them. You know, I find for myself, to be honest with you, I might act real well here, but if I'm in the car on I-4 and somebody's in front of me, I'm not exactly what you saw, the character of God. I would venture to guess some of you might not be either. But I'm also not the character of God so many other places in my life. You know, you've heard me say it before. You know, this brain of mine, it's a bad neighborhood to grow up in. There's neighborhood watch up there sometimes. But I know that as a child of the Most High God, that somehow I have to have, as Paul said in the epistle today, the renewing of the mind. And that means that when I'm smiling at you, I'm trying to be as close to what God wants me to be with that smile and be congruent as I possibly can. Because there's been many times in my life when I've sort of smiled, yeah, okay. You know, I just want to kill them. Yeah, I'm smiling. Yeah, I really am. But as soon as you turn your back, I want to get you. And yet that's not what God calls us to be. Reputation is what people think of you. Character is what God knows of you. You know, recently I've had to help out somebody, and they're going through a time when they're really having some things. They're you know, in their 30s, and it's been tough. There's been, you know, relational breakdown, financial disaster, and the whole nine yards. And I've been trying to help this person out going through. And at first, you know, my prayer was always, as I tried to help it out, I was praying, God, let me get this deal together. Let it fall everything in line. You know, please keep this all going together. And as I started to go through that and really pray, God, please get this all to fall into place. Do you ever have those prayers where you want all the pieces to fall in place? You know, you have your plan, and God, please bless this plan. You know, this is how I want it to do. Whether it be, you know, trying to buy a house, or whether it be, you know, just simply a health matter, please let all the details fall in line. You pray about all those pieces. And I kept on praying for all those pieces. And all of a sudden, I was convicted, because God said, quit praying about all the pieces. Pray that everything you do helps this other person become the character and the child of God that I want them to be. And I started to pray that different. And I realized one thing, that if they become the child of God they're supposed to be, and as I pray for that, then I'm becoming the child of God that I'm supposed to be, that the pieces will fall in line, even if they don't fall in line the way I want them to. I realize so often in times, you know, sometimes when I pray, it's almost more like I'm gambling than I'm praying. God, please give me the right numbers on Saturday night. Instead of saying, God, please be with me and bless me in me becoming more like you. Because if I'm more like you, that's sustainable. That's eternal. And that's where peace really comes. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you come looking to become more, a little bit more of what you ought to be and a little bit less of what you are right now. That your character, in a sense, be raised up, and that you worry more about what God knows about you than what people think of you. So in the name of Jesus, we pray.